It is the Lord's day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our beautiful prelude this morning as we begin our time of worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. I had a feeling the numbers might be a little bit low with the storms that are coming through our area today, so I hope everybody will stay safe as they travel home following worship this morning. I know many are watching us via Facebook Live this morning, so those that are joining us on Facebook Live today, thank you for joining us with your friends and family. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource for today. And I have to say, I just can't say anything. Now, I know Gay is a wonderful music minister, but I didn't think y'all would all stay on her side this morning for worship and then leave my side all by myself. Maybe that's it. That's a good call. Good call. But anyway, so this side has to sing extra loud today because I'm not singing a solo. We'll just put it that way. So anyway, it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. We are excited for a time of worship this morning and excited for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. Hopefully you received our May newsletter that came out on Thursday of this week. Janice did a great job of getting that out and sending out via email. If you did not receive it via email, you can pick one up in the foyer this morning as you leave today. And there's many opportunities coming up in the life of our church as the month goes on. A couple things to point out about this week. Reminder to our adults, we will have have our second session of our Bible study, Moses in the Footsteps of the Reluctant Prophet. That'll meet this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And based on what I saw, according to the weather, the storm shall have passed by 4 o'clock. So that'll be a wonderful thing. So come out at 4 o'clock today for our study. Youth will meet at 5 o'clock tonight for intensity. So that'll be what's going on this evening. Tuesday of this week, our team that goes to Golden Year Senior Center will once again go play bingo with that crowd and celebrate birthdays there at their facility. If you would like to go to that, please speak to Gay or myself. You can also talk to Sandy French, who I think is up in the nursery today. You can talk with her as well. That group leaves about 1:30 to go over to Golden Year. So if you're interested in participating in that ministry, please talk to her about that as well. Choir will meet this Wednesday at 6:30 as they normally do. And come out, and then y'all can fill this side of the choir loft next Sunday for our worship next Sunday morning. Today is the final day for our missions collections for the City Gate Dream Center. Those items needed were listed in your April newsletter. If you still have a few items that you need to bring, please bring them by today. You can drop them off this afternoon in the fellowship hall. We'll make sure they get to where they need to go. Also, if you still have items that you're bringing for the goodie bags for the Elon Cheer Squad, we'll be putting those together on Tuesday. So if you can, if you have those items, please bring them by today or tomorrow. Make sure you drop them off no later than tomorrow as we put those bags together on Tuesday. And thank you for your generosity with those two collections. Our May collection will be collecting items for the Burlington Animal Services. And you can see those items needed are listed in your May newsletter. Do not forget that our deacon nominating ballots are available right now. They started last Sunday. They're still available this Sunday. You might have picked one up in your Sunday school class this morning. As you leave this morning, you can pick one up on the table in the foyer. We need these back by next Sunday. So please fill these out. Prayerfully consider the names you place on this ballot and then drop them in the offering plate or drop them by the church office either this week or no later than next Sunday. The deacon nominating team are looking forward to your insight into this process, and they'll be collecting these names and beginning that prayerful consideration of who will be serving as our deacons for next year. So please make sure you bring those back. And the last announcement I want to make is something coming up in the month of May. On Tuesday, May 16th, we'll be having our senior adult luncheon. We'll be having a Hershey's barbecue lunch followed by the singing of Terry Budwine. It'll be a wonderful day of ministry here at First Baptist. If you are interested in coming, and this is for any age, it's not just for our seniors, it's for anybody who wants to come and available, make sure you sign up in the foyer. You can sign up at the communication center. You can sign up in the Sunday school classrooms, but we want to make sure we have enough food, so make sure you sign up as soon as possible. Again, that's Tuesday, May 16th. For that senior adult luncheon. We gather today to give thanks and praise to God. Let us worship Him this day.
Our first hymn this morning is Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you.
seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, reading verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. This is the birth of the church, the birth of the church that is heritage of who we are today. May we go to God in prayer, giving thanks for how we have grown through the years. Let us pray. Risen Savior, reliable shepherd, we hear your voices calling us to follow you. We remember our ancient brothers and sisters who gathered in prayer and praise, and today we too gather in prayer and praise this morning. Enliven us with your resurrection power, a power that frees us from despair. Enliven us with your abundant life. May your living power flow through us in all that we are, in all that we do. Do we lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll sing all four verses. Let's stand.
As we continue to celebrate our 75th year of ministry here at First Baptist, we are excited that next Sunday, May 7th, we will be welcoming back, and I say that word a little bit jokingly because he has not really gone anywhere, but to welcome back Reverend Norman Harris, our fifth senior pastor in the history of our church here at First Baptist. You will not want to miss having Norman lead us in worship from the pulpit next Sunday morning and having Judy back with us as well. Norman and Judy have been faithful members online every Sunday, and my guess is they're watching us right this morning as we talk this morning. So hello, Norman. Hello, Judy. We look forward to having you with us next Sunday. And we're excited that we will have a chance to celebrate as one of our former pastors comes back and leads us from the pulpit once again. And we look forward to what God has laid upon his heart to share with us next Sunday morning. Next Sunday will also be a day of celebration as our sister in Christ, Donna Carter, enters the baptismal waters during our morning worship service. This is a moment that Donna has been looking forward to for some time now, and we look forward to celebrating her, with her, supporting her, and as being a supportive congregation, we want to support her with our presence here next Sunday morning and lift her up in prayer. So please come out next Sunday morning, May 7th, for this day of celebration for Donna, for Norman and Judy, and for our entire congregation. We look forward to this day of celebration as we continue to celebrate 75 years of ministry here at First Baptist. Now, this time, I want to call on Deacon John Hines for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Loving God, we have so many reasons to say thank you to you. Your generosity, grace, and mercy are astounding. And we pray that the gifts we offer in worship and throughout the week might be used in your name. Help us to be generous with our money, but also with our talents and time. Strengthen us to recognize your blessings, to be grateful, and respond accordingly. Bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Alas, indeed, my
Thank you, worship choir, for our beautiful special music today. As we prepare to encounter God's word once again this day, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving Savior, shepherd with the voice that we know, be with us when we stray away. For we often hear the voices of strangers and follow them to dry pastures and dark valleys. We forget your voice of love and begin to feel small and lost. We fear that we will not have enough to go on, much less have a surplus to offer others. And yet, you know us by heart and by name, calling us once again, restoring our souls, walking ahead of us on the right paths, and we will follow you, remembering your voice every day and every moment. For this we give thanks, and for this we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship on this damp and wet Sunday morning. This is a Sunday morning that it's often easier to stay in bed than to get out and come to church on Sunday. But thank you for joining us this day. I will be 100% honest. I've been struggling this morning with another migraine. And I'm thankful for your prayers. I felt them this morning. I'm glad I can be up here. Mentioned, I think, to Barry Carroll this morning, I said, if I fall down up here in the pulpit, it's not because I've been slain in the spirit, it's because I'm feeling a little vertigo. So just help me back up, I'll grab hold, and we'll keep on going. But it is good to be in the warmth of Christ in this place today. We are still in the season of Easter as we continue to celebrate the life-changing effects of the empty tomb. And this morning, I'll be focusing on those effects that we've talked about over the last couple weeks. And this morning we'll be looking specifically at 1 Peter chapter 2 and what he has to say about these life-changing effects. But before we get to our focus passage this morning, there was a game that I used to play when I was a child, and you might have heard of it before, hide and seek. Raise your hands if you have ever played hide and seek with your siblings, with your friends. Yeah, I was pretty sure almost everybody has played hide and seek before, right? Whether it was with your siblings, your friends, or just neighbors or strangers, we know the basis of the game, right? One person is it, and the others run off and try to hide. When my brother and my friends would play this game, we often did this at nighttime when it was pitch black outside. We would choose the person who was it, and we'd give that it a flashlight to give them a little bit of help in helping us find us when we went off to hide. And then we'd run off and hide behind bushes, under cars, up in trees, you name it, we hid there. The it person would go around trying to find us, and when they'd shine the flashlight on you, you were found. You were found, and when you were hit with that flashlight, you were told to go off to that designated safe place, which was at our game, it was our little house. We had a little house where we kept lawn equipment, sports equipment, there was a freezer in there, other odds and ends, and that was our safe place. So if a person, however, could not be found during one round of this game, eventually the it person would say, come out, wherever you are. And that was the call that he or she had surrendered, and the next round of game was over. And that person who was still hiding was supposed to come out. Sometimes they would still play around and stay hidden, but they were supposed to come out, run to that safe place, and they were guaranteed not to be the it person the next time around. Now think about for a moment the people who were hiding for a second. Think about your experience of hiding in darkness, crouching around, often being anxious about being found. Every breath that you took may have been that breath that gave you away. Every sound that you heard could have been that it person coming around the corner to find you. Everything around you caused your senses to be heightened. Even though your purpose was not to be found, when that person who was it finally found you, it was almost kind of a sense of relief that you didn't have to hide anymore, that you got to run off to the safe location. You'd often give the it person some hints, like, hey, I know where so-and-so is. Do you want help? And they would say, no, I don't want any help. But, of course, you gave them help anyway. When the person who was called, when the person called out, come out, wherever you are, those who remained in the trees and the bushes were able to come out and run to safety. It was a sense of relief that you were hit, you were found. Everybody could see you. Everybody knew where you were, who you were, and where you were going to be located. This is the same when we think about our state before and after salvation. And this is what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 25. I know it says verse 24 in your bulletins, and I changed it on the screen, and that's my mistake. That's not Janice's mistake. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn in your New Testament passage as we look at this New Testament letter. Again, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 25. Let's see what the Apostle Peter had to say about hide and seek, what he had to say about come out, wherever you are. Reading from the NIV. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires, which was against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The situation of hiding in the dark and then being freed to safety in our state before is our state before and after salvation. Before salvation, we were crouching in our sin, hiding in our shame, lurking in the darkness of our awful attitudes. Every time someone mentioned one of the sins we were embedded in, our hearts would start pounding, praying that it would not be revealed. Each time we heard the preacher speak on forgiveness, or each time we heard him preach on judging or lying or cheating or fornication or idolatry or pride or greed or whatever the sin is, and the list goes on and on and on, whatever it was that we were attempting to hide, we felt panic. We felt fear as if that darkness was coming to light. But when God sent down Jesus, literally to be it. Ever thought about it that way? God chose Jesus to be it. And to search and to find those of us who were not really hiding, but in a sense were lost, to die so that we could be found. He allowed us a chance to run to the designated safe place, whatever it is, and that place for all Christians is called salvation. He came and taught. He came and healed and found those who were in darkness and called out when he hung on Calvary's cross. Scripture says, he says this, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone unto me." Or to put it in other words, the one who is it, Jesus Christ, was calling out to those who were hiding, and he was saying this simple statement, come out wherever you are. I am the safety that you are looking for. Look at the history of Scripture. Why did God have to send someone to find us? Well, God created humankind and placed them in the Garden of Eden, gave them everything they needed. Then sin came on the scene, tempted them, they succumbed, they hid from God, and God banished them from the garden. From the garden to the flood, to the wilderness experience, to the destruction of the Tower of Babel, all the way to the prophecy of John the Baptist about the one coming to save, we were all still hiding in sin. And God, being merciful as he is, did not want his children to remain anxious, fearing, doubting, so he sent someone to find us and to bring us out into the light. He called out saying, come out wherever you are, allowing us to run to that safety which was him in the essence of salvation. The Lord understood that we do not have the sense enough to come out of hiding on our own. We didn't do that. We would just keep on hiding. We would just be like one of those characters. Anybody watch The Little Rascals when they were younger? I mean, this dates me a little bit. I saw Little Rascals a little bit. But every time they played hide and seek, you know what happened at the end of that show? Someone got left hiding. They didn't find everybody. They'd forget who was hiding, and they always left someone hiding in the dark. And then the show would kept going on until the very end, and then they realized, hey, where's so-and-so? He's still hiding. That's what happened. That's what would happen if God didn't send Jesus to be the one to save us. Somebody would be left hiding. You know how we need to have someone to come help us? That's exactly what God did for us. God understood that after the game of life was over, his children would still be hiding in sin if he did not let them know that it was safe to come out. Because God sent Jesus to be it, there is no sin that is so powerful that we have to remain in hiding. There is no sin that is so powerful that we have to stay in the dark. Romans 6:14 tells us that sin will no longer exert dominion over us because we are no longer slaves to the law, but now abide under God's grace. In other words, God gave us Jesus to be it, and he is saying, come out wherever you are. He is telling us he is giving us freedom from our sinful nature. And I don't know anybody who wants to turn away freedom. He's letting us know that sin no longer must rule over our lives. Satan would love us to believe that we are still bound in our sin, that they are just unhealthy habits too hard to break. That's how Satan gets us to fall. He likes to say, oh, it's okay. If you fall down every once in a while on that, it's just unhealthy. It's not a sin. It's just unhealthy. And if you fall again, that's okay. Just keep doing it. It's okay. But Jesus has called us out of hiding. He has shown us what the light looks like. He is beckoning us to come out of our designated place to his safety, which is him. That means anyone and everyone can be saved. Salvation is for everyone. It is not based upon the church that you attend or the extent of your Bible knowledge. It is not about your tithing, your attendance, or your talents. There is no sin that can preempt you from having the opportunity of salvation. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us simply that Jesus bore our sins on the cross to free us from our sins. It doesn't say to free us from our sins except for, it says to free us from our sins, period. So that we might have a righteous life and that he was wounded that we might be healed. Pain, addictions, mistakes, depression are causing some of us to hide right now, longing for relief and release from suffering. But the Word tells us that Jesus was born to die for all our pain. He died for the distress of illness. He died for the tears of heartache. He died for the anguish of depression. He died for the grips of grief. He died for the bondage of sin. He died so that we can face tomorrow with joy. He died so that we may have victory over our affliction and have a life of eternity. So whatever state that you are in right now, whatever sin you feel is too dreadful to be forgiven, whatever sin is holding on too tight to you that you feel just won't let you go, Jesus was stretched out on the cross with outstretched arms, beckoning to each of us hiding in our sin, afraid of being exposed, terrified, tortured, to simply come out to where He is. We do not have to be bound by our mistakes or tied up by our mishaps. John 8:36 tells us that when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Martin Luther King Jr. said it boldly, "I am free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Free from the bondage of sin." Jesus says, come out wherever you are to the cheater, the addict, the liar, the stealer, the backbiter.